for a free initial consultation.
And welcome back to the show. Rejoining us on line number four this time is the Associate Professor at Carlton Sprock School of Business, Dr. Ian Lee. Good morning, Dr. Lee. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the show, sir.
My apologies about the bad connection.
No, that's great. Now we can hear you loud and clear, and we'll proceed. With the first introduction, I said that you had commented on Newfoundland Labrador's path to potential insolvency and stuff. Is that what's on your mind this morning?
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's go.
Just by way of background, I want my disclosures out there. I don't consult to anybody or anything anywhere, not corporations, not unions, not governments, not lobbyists, and so forth. What I'm about to say is based on my research that I published about the largest downsizing in Canadian history, and that was the Chrétien Liberal government of 1995-98 when they laid off 80,000 public servants, federal public servants, to achieve fiscal solvency, fiscal sustainability. And then the second article I did was on the Harper government downsizing after the famous recession of 2008-09. So that was a separate article. Both articles were peer-reviewed and published in Hell Ottawa Spends, an annual publication published by McGill Queen's University Press. Now to the point, and I think you can see the relevance to Newfoundland and Labrador. In both instances, but certainly the first instance, 1995, the Canadian government had a famously gargantuan deficit, and then Finance Minister Paul Martin went to New York City, to Wall Street, to meet the bond market companies, the companies that raise bonds for provincial and federal governments and state governments. And it was widely reported that the people there read the Riot Act to him and said, basically, look, Canada's finances are a mess, and if you don't get your act, your house in order, your fiscal house in order, we're going to maybe stop buying your bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back to, and they had an emergency cabinet meeting, apparently. Obviously, I wasn't in the room. I'm going on what was reported publicly. And they then announced, as I said, the largest downsizing. And where I'm going with this, the two downsizings, both the Liberal government of under Chrétien Martin and the one under Harper, showed, I believe, that the only way you can achieve fiscal sustainability when you are in a deep fiscal crisis with very significant deficits and debts is that public service layoffs, unfortunately, have to be on the table. And the reason why, it's arithmetic, it's mathematics. At the federal level, wages and benefits are somewhere just under 30% of total spending. In Newfoundland and Labrador, it's 51%. So, I mean, you can't talk about restructuring and fiscal rebalancing when it's such a large component. And the second point is programs at the federal and the provincial government level are inextricably tied up with people. People, public servants, deliver programs. So I think what the government is really saying is, by saying a no-layoff policy, is we're not going to really seriously try to fiscally restructure and become fiscally sustainable. And so my argument is that sends a very clear message to the bond market, the bond markets. And remember, these are private companies. These are pension plans and other sovereign wealth funds and that sort of thing. People with large sums of money, billions of dollars that they're able to invest. And they are not compelled, and no government can compel a private lender to buy the bonds of the government of Canada or the government of Newfoundland and Labrador. And so my point is if they think that the crisis, your government is going to hit the wall even sooner because of this decision to not lay off any public servant, this could precipitate, the irony is this could precipitate a fiscal crisis more rapidly in Newfoundland and Labrador. And for those people listening in the government who think, look, we're protected, we're okay, I want to remind everybody, and this came out in my article, Pink Slips and Running Shoes, and I called it that because Mulroney was elected in 1984, big headline in the Ottawa Citizen newspaper, when we're elected, we're going to give those public servants pink slips and running shoes. In the next 9 years, he gave job security to federal public servants, not once, but twice.
Yeah, well, Mulroney's tactic of choice at that time was, and of course, no significant reduction of the deficit, but he had the luxury of being able to sell off some assets. I mean, it was Petro-Canada,
yes,
Air Canada, CN Rail,
That's right.
So he had something at his disposal, which we do not enjoy at this point in this province,
right,
and nor do we enjoy that type of luxury at the federal government level at all at this time
of
history.
But where I'm going with this, notwithstanding that they had legal, ironclad guarantees against layoffs, it was trumped by the Chrétien government because they introduced a bill in Parliament that became the law, and they overrode the collective agreement. In a fiscal, this is one thing I don't think that's been brought out, at least I'm not sure, but I don't think it's been brought out. If you hit the wall, and you literally have no run out of money because the bond companies that buy bonds don't buy your bonds anymore, you would be in a fiscal crisis. And the legislature, the Legislative Assembly of Newfoundland and Labrador, can invoke fiscal, you know, crisis, and they can pass a bill in the Legislative Assembly overturning that the job security, the no layoff clause. But the point, what I'm getting at is what they've done, I think, is they've brought the date forward by sending a message to the bond markets, we are not going to take the necessary serious measures to address this very serious fiscal problem.
How they're dealing with the job issue, and I'll just throw this out there for a conversation. They say that job losses will indeed be satisfied through attrition. The aging workforce means that there's going to be X number of people just leave and retire, and those positions won't be refilled. So that's one thing, and it certainly doesn't allow them to have the ability to react fluidly to ever-changing fiscal realities, which I think they've handcuffed themselves here. Make matters worse, that no-layoff clause will now be the line in the sand for not only NAEP, but other unions will be looking for the same protection from the government, ongoing negotiations. We're dealing with the nurses right now. The question would be, I don't know how the lenders will hear this message, whether it be coded or not, from the government. But in, say, for instance, in their first year, the Liberal government here provincially, spending went up. Now, it only went up a couple of percent, and some of that was because of debt servicing, but it went up. Job losses were not huge. In fact, they campaign on protecting every single public sector job. Our bond rating and our credit ratings did not diminish. I mean, we still have a pretty good rating. We're able to access long-term funds. So if they didn't get the punishment that you suggest might be coming this time, they didn't get it in 15, they didn't get it in 16, they were able to borrow the money long-term.
Right.
How have things changed so dramatically, in your opinion, then?
I also did papers on the European debt crisis, and to be more precise, it wasn't Europe, it was Greece, and it was Portugal. And I saw a wonderful quote the other day, and it was by a person in New York City. He said, when countries run into a sovereign debt crisis, he says, everything is flying along just fine, peachy keen, you know, until all of a sudden, it's not. In other words, these crises arise very quickly. You know, one day, you know, the bond market is buying your bonds. One, you know, the bond markets were buying the bonds of the government of Greece. And then something turned. Some new information came out and said, oh, my God, they really are insolvent. And I won't get into that debate about bankruptcy versus insolvency, which is a bogus distinction. Yes, provinces cannot go bankrupt, legally speaking. But insolvency is defined under the Bankruptcy Act, by the way, as the inability to pay your bills as they become due. If you don't have funding because the bond market says we're not buying your bonds and you're insolvent, it really doesn't matter if you're, quote, legally bankrupt. If you don't have the money to pay your bills, you don't have the money to pay your bills.
Right.
And so I'm answering your question. Nobody can predict when these financial crises hit. Nobody could predict the day that the bond markets rebelled against Greece or Portugal. Nobody could predict that meeting that Paul Martin had before he had the meeting. We know that government, not even the wealthiest country in the world, it has infinite resources. And so you're going to hit the wall one day. We don't know when it's going to be, and we don't know what the precipitating act is going to be.
Right.
And when it does hit, it's really, really ugly. I mean, think of 2009 when banks were going down like 10 pins. That was the private sector insolvency. And they were failing like crazy. And
some of that was their own doing. That was at their own hands. And I guess you're suggesting governments is creating their own issues here, which I don't disagree with. European issues are a little tiny bit different insofar as they couldn't even backstop their own currency, let alone pay the bills.
Yes. But again, it was through bad choices over a long period of time.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to suggest, by the way, that the current government created this. I'm not getting into the politics of it. These fiscal government crises would typically occurred over long periods of time. The federal deficit started in 1974 under Pierre Elliott Trudeau. And then it grew and it grew and it grew all through the Mulroney conservative years, got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then one day the thing, as I said, it blew up in 1994 when Paul Martin went down to Wall Street. And this is something that has to be discussed in Newfoundland and Labrador. And, you know, and what happens if and when the bond markets refuse to buy the bonds anymore? Remember, at the provincial level, there's a huge difference between the federal government and all the provincial governments or the state governments in the states. National governments have a printing press. It's called the Bank of Canada. It's called the Federal Reserve. It's called the Bank of England. They can literally print money. Provinces and states cannot print money. Puerto Rico is in desperate shape right now because it doesn't have a printing press, and the bond markets won't buy their bonds. And so that's the crisis. People think that, oh, well, we've got a no-layoff policy. That's going to make the crisis go away. It doesn't make the crisis go away because somebody still has to finance the financial needs of the government of Newfoundland and Labrador, and that's the bond market. And when they stop buying your bonds,
yeah,
that's when you hit the wall.
Yeah, access to having the keys to the printing press is not always very wise, and
no,
we trust the wrong people there. I mean, that's just inflation in a nutshell when we keep printing money to cover
right
debt. Governments have the ability, and the sell to the bond holders is that they have the ability to levy taxes. And that's the basis of how they can secure the bonds they sell. So won't it be the case that when the governments have their back against the wall, the easy answer, the easy solution for them is not just cutting jobs or finding efficiencies, cutting spending, it's to jack up taxes. So before provinces go bankrupt, we'll have personal insolvencies on a huge spike, which is already happening in this province. You add any cost of living through taxes, that'll be the first ramification before the province has a problem on the bond market.
I understand what you said perfectly. The problem is, and this is the delicate balancing act of any government, is that, and it's not just, you know, in Newfoundland and Labrador, there's some U.S. states right now. People don't realize that the state of Illinois is in absolutely desperate position. I mean, the bond markets are threatening to stop to buy their bonds. They're so heavily indebted. Where I'm going with this, and they've been raising taxes steadily. The problem is, the more you raise taxes, the more you make that province, provincial, or state economy unattractive.
Sure.
So businesses start to do what? They start to leave. They start to go somewhere else to more hospitable environments. And so you're in a downward death spiral where you say, okay, we'll jack up taxes on both businesses and consumers. And the consumers that are mobile, and not all consumers are, but they tend to be high income, you know, lawyers and accountants and financial people and that sort of thing, they can leave the province. And businesses can leave the province. And so the burden falls on a smaller and smaller number of the population, and the economy gets worse and worse. So that's the problem. I think that's why I said in separate interviews, I think this is going to ultimately end up on the desk of the Prime Minister of Canada, no matter who the Prime Minister is, no matter what political party. If Newfoundland and Labrador hits the wall, and we're looking at they're unable to fund the healthcare system and pay the bills of the nurses and the doctors or snow removal, then I think that at that point that will literally land on the desk of the Prime Minister of Canada, whoever that person is.
I think it's already there. And just for clarification, I don't support paying any more tax. I think I'm taxed to death already. I was just making the point that before the province finds that problem, individuals will suffer in their own personal insolvency. So I think we're all absolutely on the
absolutely
same page
true
here. We'll see where this goes. I think the provincial government is already talking with the federal government about how a bailout might look. Now, of course, you'll have every other province saying things like, well, you can't do that because we have our own distinct needs and we have our own deficits and systemic debt problems. But here we have a couple of things that may indeed see us through. For instance, the federal government owes 8.5 equity stake in a really serious producing oil field at Hibernia. That might be something. We have the big hydro potential at Gull Island. That might be an asset we can look at. There are things that might be able to keep the wolf away from the door, but they're decreasing in value as time goes by. So I think your point is well made. How quick that insolvency number or date approaches is the debate. People use 2030. If we continue on this track, even look at the PBO office. They say we're upside down $2 billion. We borrow $2 million a day already in this province.
Yes.
Extraordinary time, sir. That much I'm sure of. I really appreciate your time. Anything else in summary before we say goodbye?
No, I just wish you the best. It's a beautiful province, as we all know, and there's just wonderful people in Newfoundland and Labrador, which is why Canada is not going to abandon. Let's be clear.
No, that's right.
You are Canadian every bit as much as I am, and we are not going to abandon your province and your people.
Yeah, we're not as Canadian as Quebec, apparently. Dr. Lee, I appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks very much.
Take good care. Bye-bye.
Right.
Dr. Ian Lee, Associate Professor at Carleton Sprott School of Business. Pretty dire stuff, isn't it? There's ways through this. I mean, we got to buckle down. And, you know, people even point to the simple, it's our attitude and our mood and our optimism. Now, that's not going to pay the bills. A smile and a wink and a nod and a cheery disposition won't pay the bills. But we have to buckle down. And that includes the government. And not a lot of the decisions they're going to be forced to make will not be politically popular. But that's not why we elected them, so that they can feel good about themselves and be welcomed at cocktail parties and at the Crown and Anchor table and at the church parties. No, that's not it. You know, you asked for a difficult job in this world when you campaigned in 2015. And now you got to follow through. So diversification and some of the hopeful optimism shown in some corners and innovation and the Atlantic Fisheries Fund is simply not going to be enough. Imagine if this year we can't borrow enough to service our own debt. Just imagine. And you can't go back to the well and increase taxes. We're taxed to the hilt. Let's go ahead and take a break. Don't you dare go away.